Good morning. Another season of Lent has come and gone. We recently experienced 6 weeks of church services twice a week, observing the events of Holy Week, culminating in the Easter resurrection. We also had several chapel addresses focusing on the suffering, the death, and resurrection of our Lord. Were you blessed by your study of Holy Week this year? Today we'll go back and pick up one aspect of it. Holy Week began with Palm Sunday, when Jesus traveled on a certain road into Jerusalem. We read in Matthew's Gospel, "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" The crowd's reaction to Jesus on that road was very similar to how a crowd received a young woman on another road by the name of Rosie Ruiz back in 1980. Now, who's Rosie Ruiz, you ask? Maybe some of you know. Well, in 1980, she won the Boston Marathon. As she ran down the road nearing the finish line, she was greeted by the roaring applause by an adoring crowd. And nobody had ever heard of Rosie Ruiz, not even in running circles, right? But she became an instant hero. She came out of nowhere and beat the best runners in the world. It was a fantastic accomplishment. They placed a laurel wreath on her head. And before that, she even got a police escort up to the winner's podium. And while up on that podium, she received more applause from the crowd. And then they began to chant her name, "Rosie, Rosie, Rosie." Yeah, the crowd went wild. They probably even went wilder than that. But anyway, soon after that, doubt began to creep in. And they started asking questions. Who is this Rosie Ruiz anyway? Nobody had ever heard of her. She's certainly not a world-class runner, and yet she wins the Boston Marathon? And she does it in record time? And another thing, why is she so relaxed after the race? Usually after running a grueling marathon at 26 miles plus, a runner is totally wiped and utterly spent. But not Rosie. She's not even sweating that much, people said. So the race officials started looking into the situation. They looked at checkpoint lists. And you know what? Rosie was never found on a single checkpoint. So they interviewed her, and they found she wasn't even familiar with common running terms like checkpoint or split time. Finally, there were some witnesses that came forward who said that they saw somebody jump in from the side, from the sidewalk, from the crowd about a half mile from the finish line and run in the race. So they caught her. And then the question was, well, how did she even qualify for the Boston Marathon in the first place? I mean, they don't let just anybody run in the Boston Marathon. Well, she allegedly qualified by having a good showing at the New York Marathon just a couple of weeks prior. So they investigated that race too, at films and checkpoint lists and stuff, and they found out that Rosie had indeed started the race, and she ended the race, and actually she had a pretty respectable time. The only problem was, during a big chunk in the middle of the race, she made use of the New York City subway system. And the cheers turned into jeers. This cheers to jeers scenario is at least a little bit similar to what Jesus experienced during Holy Week. When our Lord entered Jerusalem on that road, he was greeted with praises from the people. They laid down their coats and palm branches on the road to make way for their hero. They called him the Son of David. the one that they had always been waiting for. He was the long-expected Messiah that would save His people Israel. But later that week, we learn that He was betrayed, denied, deserted by those closest to Him. And instead of a laurel wreath, His head was fitted with a crown of thorns. Instead of shouting, "Hosanna," the crowd was now chanting, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" He was mocked and blasphemed as He was nailed to the cross. The cheers had turned to jeers. And why? He had done nothing wrong. Well, it was our sins that placed Him on the cross. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do," He could have just as well been speaking about the countless times that we ourselves don't know what we do when we sin. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to hang on to a dependable hero these days? This whole thing about cheers to jeers is a recurring theme. Those we have come to admire so often let us down. Yes, they are loved for what they do. Their talents are admired. The songs they sing, the movies they produce. We may even aspire to be like them. But then they slip up. They might cheat or use illegal substances or lie to the media. Or they engage in despicable, unethical behavior and fall into disgrace. There are a lot of examples of heroes that disappoint. And we have to admit that even those that are so admirable and appear to be above doing wrong are sinful too. And they are prone to make mistakes. Martin Luther said, "I more fear what is within me than what comes from without." And we know what the Apostle Paul called himself, the chief of sinners. And the same could be said of all of us in this gym. We let each other down so often. This whole thing becomes a cycle in the Christian's life. We slip up, we seek forgiveness, we endeavor to never let it happen again, and then it happens again. It's a recurring theme. Jesus' suffering and death on the cross took place so that you and I and all others who believe might be saved for eternal life. The cheers to the King had changed to jeers, but they would once again become triumphant cheers of hallelujah when He rose from the grave in Easter glory. And when that happened, there was no doubt who was the victor over sin and death. You see, Jesus is truly a hero that is actually worthy of all the praise we could possibly give Him. He will never break a promise. He did all that His Father in heaven demanded of Him on this earth. He did not take that subway shortcut and bypass Holy Week, for example. He went to Jerusalem. He faced His enemies. And He got nailed to that cross for us. He will never lie to us. He'll never cheat or fall into disgrace like so many of our human heroes do. And this is why we are not embarrassed about our school or the name on our sign. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And we join in the stanza on the screen about this.